World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I think I'm live, even though I can't see myself. Spencer's working hard behind the scenes to try to get me on my own screen. I can see over here. You ought to see my screen if you understand my screen. I can see. You guys are probably watching me. I can't see. So bear with me if we're a little bit choppy here this morning, trying to figure out the settings and all that stuff that I don't know anything about. And before we get too much farther, I want to tip my cap to Jared Heath and Spencer and the crew down there. I broadcast out of a bunker here in just outside of Columbus, Ohio. And this is transmitted through Andy Taylor, Opie and Andy Taylor's town. What was the name of that? Mayberry RFD. So this comes out of Mayberry RFD. I'm sitting in an underground bunker in outside of Columbus, Ohio. Just so that you guys understand it, the absolute miracle of technology is beyond. You know, they talk about artificial intelligence and all that stuff, and most of us, we ain't got any clue about artificial intelligence and what's going on. So I'm a little bit distracted here because Spencer's messing with. I got two computers that run simultaneously here, three actually, and Spencer's messing with it, trying to get us back on. So bear with me here a little bit if you can. And as I try to bring some semblance. And I already prayed before we went live. And, oh, my goodness. Get up here, computer. Get up here. My own talking, my own computer. There we go. Okay. Let's see, Coach, what do you want? Oh, yeah. Okay. First of all, boom. Listen, prayer call tonight at 7. Invite people, will you? We invite people to come. And some of you, when you come, have a scripture you're going to read. A psalm, have something. Participate in it. Let's get more than 30 people in here. Invite them 7 o'clock tonight. They say, how do I get in? Send them to Coach Dave Live and there'll be a link right there. Right, Spencer? They can go to Coach Dave Live and there'll be a link there tonight that they can join on. Boom, click that one and that one will work. Okay. So we're going to do that tonight at 7 o'clock again. 7 o'clock tonight. Note number 2, annual July 10 through 12. The annual Sky High, Pass the Salt, Coach Dave, Huddle Event, July 10 through 12. Come and join. Come on, man. Just come for the fellowship. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be the most exciting. I don't know if it's going to be the most learned things. I want to try to take some of you to the Nephilim Mound. That's what I'd like to do. But come and get to know some of the people that you see every day. Look them in the eye. Shake their hand. You might come up with a new friend. So that is July 10, 11, and 12. You don't have any idea how hard it was to secure a weekend that works for everybody. If it doesn't work for you, sorry, there isn't a whole lot we can do about it, okay? So number 3, I want to get out there. Stay Awake America Tour. Pull that up there. There's where you buy tickets. If you want to go, there's where you get them. Stay Awake. I don't know if they're live streaming or not. Our registration is closed. I don't even know what that means. I don't believe registration is closed. Anyway, 20 speakers. Now here's what, I don't want anybody to take offense at this. Nobody take offense at what I'm trying to say, what I'm going to say, because I believe it to be true. We have, if we're not careful, we are developing a group of, how do I say it? Conference goers. And it's like this. I've used this illustration before. I'm not being critical. I'm not. I'm really not. Okay. People go to a football game to watch a huddle. They don't go to watch a huddle. They go to see what difference the huddles make, huddle makes. I don't know if you guys ever played football. You get in a huddle with 11 people. Coach sends in a play. He calls the play. Everybody comes out and runs the play. Everybody runs the same play. And what we do, and I'm not being critical. I'm doing a little bit of analysis here. Okay, talking about me. If I want to learn how to bake a cake, I want to learn how to bake a cake. I'm not going to go hear somebody talk about changing the oil in my car. It doesn't apply to where I am. Now, somehow, sometime, some way, we need to transfer these going to conferences to actually action. Action. Amy has put together the most unbelievable, click on that, Spencer, Stay Awake America. She put on the most unbelievable speakers. I mean, I don't know how she got them. I don't know how she got them. Look who some of these speakers are that are going to be there. Now, Amy, is it going to be streaming? I hope. Spencer, I think if you stay where you were, it's going to give you a lift. Tommy Robinson, you know who he is? He used to be, what was he, prime minister or something? Wasn't he prime minister of England, Tommy Robinson? He's coming. Dr. Brian Harris, scroll on down. Look at some of these. I can't believe Mikovits is going to be there. Peter Tichton going down. These unbelievable who's going to be at this thing. Tommy Robinson, Kevin Sorbo, Yeah, Hercules and his wife. They're going to be there. So it's a good place to come if you just want to stargaze, by the way. Vandersteel, Ivan Raiklin, Ann Vandersteel, Dr. Doug Frank, Pete Chambers, who's running for governor of Texas. Geez, he's crying me. Valencia Gomez, Trinis Evans. Oh, my goodness. Folks, this is something. I'm sorry? Okay, that's all. Folks, just like, I mean, my opinion, too many speakers. It's good. I mean, I'm good. But man, oh man, how do you make an argument in 20 minutes or whatever it is you get? So there it is. You can get it online if you want to. That's where we'll be. Cool. Next thing. I think I got everything. Mel's got her hand up. Go ahead, Mel.
Thanks, Coach. Spencer, if you could go to thelibertyactionnetwork.com. I know sometimes I don't mention the website, but it is thelibertyactionnetwork.com. If you can go to events, this is not a conference event. In fact, this is an event. This is a biblical event that I want to talk about today. Today is the beginning of the new biblical new year. In the Bible, it talks about the first month being the month of Easter, the month of Passover. So today's the day. So I just want to bring that to your attention. I'd encourage you to go to the Liberty Action Network website. There are some Bible verses there that reference in the Bible where it talks about it being the beginning of the new year. Exodus 12:2 says, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you." And the Hebrew month Nisan is known as the King of Months. So it's a really special time biblically. So I'd encourage everybody to think about today as the beginning of the new year. And maybe as we begin to think, not so much of holidays, but as holy days that are described in the Bible. Thanks, Coach.
And boy, they've changed so much stuff on us, folks. They just changed so much stuff. And let me make a little bit of an appeal. Do you guys share this show with other people? Do you share this? Because I'm just from my standpoint, I don't know of a show out there like this, where we bring the Bible into the discussions of what's going on. Joe Rogan's one of the biggest podcasters in the world. How he became that, I don't know. But he became that because somebody somehow promoted Joe Rogan to that position. I don't care if I'm Joe Rogan, but the truth that most people don't get any biblical truth other than from their pastor. And then they turn on the news and they swallow the news and they've got their... They've got their biblical worldview, whatever that biblical worldview might be. And that's why there's so much confusion. Share this, will you? Prayer call tonight. Okay. I got some stuff that maybe is going to shake you a little bit. You know that I do not, on this platform, push rumors and stuff like that. But I'm going to show you some stuff here today that's going to make you scratch your head a little bit. and say, what the heck is going on? Let me show you part of our problem. Hey, Spence, pull up for me the age of Congress. The guys who are representing us. How old is the 118th Congress? Republican, Democrat. Scroll down, Spence. It'll give us their ages here. Here we go. What's the average age of Congress? The average age of the 118th Congress is 58 years old. Of the 435 members, 64 members were born in the 1980s. Okay, scroll on down. Scroll on down. There they are. There are people in Congress who are 80 plus years old. Look how many in the Senate are over 70 years old. 70 years old. 80 years old serving in Congress in the Senate. 80 years old. Now you ask yourself, why would anybody in their right mind want to be serving in Congress at 80 years old? Why wouldn't you want to be home with your family and your children? And why? Because something nefarious is at work in Congress. Okay, scroll on down a little bit more, Spence. Evidently, they're making some. How about the age of them? How about this? Charles Grassley's 89. 89! Dianne Feinstein's 89. Bernie Sanders is 80 freaking one. Mitch McConnell's, look at these. 80, 79, 79, 78, 78, 76. Mitt Romney, 75, 75, 75, 73. What? What? The average age of the Senate, 64 years old. What age do you retire at? Somebody help me out there. What's retirement age? In the real world, what's retirement age? 62?
62, maybe 62. 65.
Why the hell won't these guys retire? Well, we know why. We know why, right? Because the kings of the earth have set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Hey, Jack, Susan Collins is 70. Sherrod Brown is 70, trying to run again. He got boomed out. He's trying to run again at 70 years old. Hey, I'm 73. I could be a good congressman, but I ain't been in Congress for 30 years, 40 years. And if we open our eyes and look around, the mess we're dealing with, well, there it is. There's Susan Collins. She ain't no Republican. She ain't no Republican. Getting sold out by her own team. Okay, pull up another one. You ready for this one? Longest serving. Pull that up. Longest serving. Who's the longest serving? Scroll down, Spence. 87% of them. Look at that. Charles Grassley's been in Congress 50 years. Markley, 48 years. Ron Wyden, 44 years. Schumer, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? These people were elected in 1981. I graduated from college in 75. What? One more thing I'll show you is what we're up against. Number three, who's the richest? Huh? Who's the richest? Jim Just, I don't even know him. He's worth $664 million. Think he cares what you guys think? Jefferson Schrieg, I don't even know who he, I have no idea who he is. $600 million. Rick Scott of Florida, $503 million. Daryl Issa, $460 million. Kevin Hearn, $360. I don't even know who he is. Owner of several McDonald's franchises. Tim Shee, $297 million. Michael McCall. See, they ought to make serving voluntary. Voluntary. It was never meant to be a full-time. Okay, so folks, this is the deep state. This is the American deep state. And it's unbelievable to see that here we are trying to get past what they call the Save America Act, whatever, just to make people have to show ID to vote. And not all the Republicans are on board. What? The demonic influence in America is so beyond. Okay, so I'm going to take you someplace today. Go ahead, Mary Beth, quickly. I'm going to take you someplace today. Hey, Betty, all you guys out there, I want you to tune in and watch. It's good for my ego. But frankly, I don't give a damn if you agree with me or not. I really don't care. I'm not here to try to stroke your ego or say something that makes you feel good today. I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Nobody owns me. Nobody owns Coach Dave Live. You know who owns me? The people they give $10, $20, $30 a month to keep us going, which, by the way, a lot of you out there don't even do that. And so you know what happens? You see it happen everywhere. When financial pressure comes, then a big donor steps in, and then you owe your allegiance to the big donor. I'll quit before that ever happens here. But some of you ought to kick in $20 a month. I know it's absolutely unbelievable to me. Go ahead, Mary Beth.
Question, comment, why don't they have term limits? And the other thing is this lady that somebody called on the Save Act, she just said, I'll just tell you, I'm not voting for it, and that's it. I mean, like...
They don't represent us, folks. They do not represent us. You understand that? You understand? I'm a really, really deeply committed Christian man. Do you have any idea how easy it is to lie and steal and cheat? You really? Do you have any idea? You have to have a strong, strong constitution, a strong belief in the Lord to say, no, I am not going to do that. Imagine being in Congress and having all that money and no conscience. That's what we're dealing with. That's what we're dealing with. Okay, I'm going to take you someplace. You're going to think this is kind of crazy. I don't care if you do. Where do you want me to start, Lord? Where do you want me to start? All right, let's start there because this is going to be really, really fun. Pull up. I'm trying to find off number 10. I'm sorry. Number 10. I'm going to make a connection for you. Okay. Stop, coach. Okay. Hey folks, are you looking at me? The Jewish issue isn't going away. No, I'm not going to stand here and talk about it again today. I'm not going to talk about it, but it is the issue of the day. It's coming to a head. Coming to a head. And many people in Christianity will say, well, it's because the Jews are God's chosen people. So therefore, their theology tells it, right? Their theology tells them that this is not going away. Zionism, Judaism, it's being exposed more and more every day. The lines are being drawn. If you criticize Israel anyway, you're anti-Semitic. I'm going to get into that in a second, okay? So, look. Hey, Betty, let's see how smart you are. When did Columbus sail the ocean blue?
1494.
Two. That's good, though.
It's been a while. My mind's not right anyway.
Columbus sailed the ocean blue. And what did Columbus bring over? What did Christopher Columbus bring over? Well, he brought over Europeans. Whatever they were, Europeans. He brought Europeans over here. White men, for the most part, brought them over. When Christopher Columbus got here, were there any people here?
Yes.
Well, who was here?
Probably the Native Americans.
The Indians and Native Americans, probably. Were there any?
Maybe some Nephilim.
Huh? I don't know. Was England the only place that was sending people over here? Wait a minute. Now, 1492, Columbus sails it, and then we begin to send people over. Did any country, other countries begin to send people over here? Other than just England, did France, did Portugal, did all of a sudden a lot of different people come over here? Yeah, they did. And then what happened in 1776? We had a revolution. We wrote the Declaration of Independence. And we said, what? One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And we declared ourselves a Christian nation. In fact, the U.S. Supreme Court declared that we were a Christian nation. Now, anybody could come here, but our morals and our foundation was Christian. It's undeniable. It's undeniable. We were a Christian nation. So I want to show you something. Hey Spencer, somebody do this for me. Somebody do this for me. A generation, they say, is 20 years. Somebody do the math for me. How many generations would there be from 1492 to today? How many generations would that be? Yeah, Spencer's doing. I'm going to send you $5. How many? 51 generations, it says. 51 generations. Now, those of you who are watching me right now, how many generations do you know? How many generations of your lineage, how many did you actually meet? I said to my wife yesterday, because, you know, we live in a compound here. all of our grandkids are around us. And I said, you know what's really, really amazing? When I die, my grandkids will have known me. They will have known me intimately. Their grandma and grandpa, they will have known intimately. And as you look back over your shoulder, do you remember your grandparents? Did you really know your grandparents? Or was it just somebody you visited once a month? Or did you really, really know them? By the way, did you know their parents? Did you know your great grandparents? Maybe. I knew my great grandpa. I said before, I was in the room when he died. I knew him. I didn't know him. I was 6 years old. I didn't know Grandpa George. Did you know Coach Dave? Did you know Grandpa George's dad? Just three generations? Did you know them? No, I don't even know who they would be. What about their parents? Did you know, 20-year generation, approximately 27 generations. This reflects a shorter interval often seen in history. A 25-year generation, that would be 21 generations. If we made a generation 25 years, there would be 21 generations back to 1492. Americans. They didn't have computers. They didn't have the internet. I don't even know if they had pens and pencils. I don't know. But somehow here we are. We wake up in what year is this? 2026. And we actually think there's such a thing. I'm sorry. Is there such a thing as a true-blooded American? What would an American be? What would let me take another one. There's such a thing as a pure-blooded Caucasian? You mean to tell me back over your 27 generations, there wasn't a little bit of mixed blood in there? Nobody? Nobody? Well, there isn't pure blood. That's why we need the blood of Christ, because nobody is pure, including those people in Israel. Are you tracking with me here? So hang on. Let's start right here real quickly. Let's start right here. I'm sorry, I'm looking at my notes here. I did that. Golly. Oh, all right. Bring up number 8. Oh, no. So hang on. I'm sorry. I got off track. I'm a Melungeon. Coach Dave Dobenmeyer is a Melungeon. Scroll down. Hey, Betty, I identify as white. I'm a white man. Not so fast. America has a funny way of hiding history. There's no better example of that than the story of the Melungeons, the forgotten people of Appalachia. That's me. Appalachia is a geographic region of the United States located in the Appalachian Mountains. Region consists of 13 states stretching from New York to northern Mississippi. It is home to more than 26 million Americans, none of them purebred. But when you do research on the region, Melungeons are barely mentioned, if at all. If you've never heard of a Melungeon, don't feel too bad because they won't talk to you. But some have speculated the Melungeons were descendants of Portuguese explorers. Scroll down. Oh, by the way, and even pushed ridiculous claims that they could have been one of the lost tribes of Israel. Can tell you this. I got Jewish blood in me. I do. Most historians have agreed that Melungeons were from Europe, Africa, and indigenous ancestry, which suggests that North America was a hodgepodge of people before America was a thing. It also reveals a fascinating intersectionality between Europeans, Africans, and the indigenous people that American history never mentions. So Coach Dave, you're telling me this, that some of those guys came across the boat and then they had sex with Indians. Yeah, they did. Yeah. You mean to tell me, Coach Dave, you're telling me that they brought those African slaves across and they brought them as slaves to America and then they ended up having sex with some Indians? Yeah. And then their offspring began to have sex with some white people? Yeah, yeah, Yeah. And they mixed in some little bit of jute. Yeah. 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 How many generations, Betty? 25 generations. Know what we talked about? So look at this. Here's an article from the August 6, 1927, Richland Beacon News. Folks, we're talking about mixed blood. Hey, look, are you looking at me? There ain't any bloodline Jews. Totally, completely pure. You're smarter than that. Look at your own family. Your own family. Go back to your own family. Look at nieces and nephews. Look at the intermarriage going on with all of that stuff. Melungeons, a race of people said to be living in the mountains of East Tennessee, are supposed to be an offshoot of the so-called Croatian Indians of North Carolina. The name Melungeon is probably from the French melange, meaning mixed. What? When was this? 1927. Yeah, they're a mixed Indian, white, Negro. According to ethnologists, although the original admixture was blood, occurred centuries ago, and the history of these people is obscure. We don't really know Coach Dave's lineage back so far because he'd be a Melungeon. The Melungeons, who in general resemble Indians more than Negroes or whites, refused to be classified as Negroes and refused to attend Negro schools and church. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm telling you right now? That my ancestry, they thought they were blacks. At the same time, they are socially ostracized by the whites. And although they are as dark as mulattoes, their hair is straight. For the most part, the Melungeons are farmers. That'd be me. That'd be me. No. That'd be my ancestry. So I'm going to shock y'all right now. I ain't pure white, and I ain't pure Christian. I'm a mix. I'm a mix. Okay, stay with me. I'll get you in a second, Dale. So pull up for me. I make notes here. I just kind of do it at random. Are you okay? Pull up number 9. Who are the Semites? Stop a minute. I want you to know that this is from Jewish history, okay? Jewish history. Because they love to call anybody who criticizes Jews anti-Semitic, right? Remember this, change the words, change the world. Scroll down quickly. The name Semite comes from Shem, the eldest of three sons of Noah. In the Greek and Latin versions of the Bible, Shem becomes Sem. Since neither Greek nor Latin has any way of representing the initial sound of the Hebrew name. The Bible tells us that anyone on earth was drowned except for Noah and his family. That all mankind are descended from his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The lines of descent from the three of them describe the 10th chapter of Genesis, represent a kind of myth. This is Jewish, folks. This is Jewish. Represent a kind of mythological, enumerating the peoples of antiquity, whose names were known at the time when this chapter was written, setting forth the relationships between them. In latter times, the idea was adopted by Christians, and to a lesser extent by Muslims and Jews. The three sons of Noah represented the eponymous ancestries of three major racial or linguistic groups. And according to this interpretation, Ham was the ancestor of dark-skinned people, Shem of the Hebrews and their various cognates, and Japheth, the ancestor of the Medes, the Persians, the Greeks, and other peoples who many centuries later came to be known as Aryans. Is anybody following this with me? You can't even track the lineage in your own family. Modern language theory, while Shem and his sons are of biblical antiquity, the Semite is of much more recent origin, dating to the 18th century. Really? The notion that some languages may be related to other languages, folks, this is a Jewish source. Other languages by no means is new. Already in ancient times, Jewish scholars were aware of the kinship between Hebrew and Aramaic. In medieval times, they were able to perceive and even make use of the similarities between Hebrews and Aramaic in their studies of grammar and lexicography. But it was not until the development of comparative philosophy, philology in the 18th century. That notion of families of cognitive languages emerge and develop. So I'm going to put this in the chat segment. Then we had the Aryans. Who were the Aryans? The two protagonists. The Aryans were the Semites and the Aryans, and they intermarried. Are you kidding me? The larger consists of the Sanskrit, the Persians, the Latins, the Greek, most of the language of modern Europe, Slavic, Germanic. Folks, this is a Jewish source. Go on down. Semites. As far back as 1704, the German philosopher and polymath Gottfried, this is a Jewish source, von Leibniz had identified a group of cognitive languages, which included Hebrew, Old Punic, Carthaginian, Chaldean, Syriac, and Ethiopic. Languages! This group, he gave the name Arabic, after its most widely used and widely spoken member. To call a group by the name of one of its members could easily give to confusion, and Leibniz's nomenclature was not generally accepted. It wasn't until 1781 that this group was given the name which it has retained ever since. In the year August Ludwig Schlosser contributed an essay on the subject to a comprehensive German work on biblical and blah, 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 blah. The Syrians, Babylonians, Hebrews, Arabs were one people. Even the Phoenicians, who were Hamites, spoke the language, which I might call the Semitic. It's a language! It's a language! If you're anti-Semitic, you're against their language. The idea, this is, folks, this is a Jewish source. The idea that Semitic language is derived from original language, and that the people speaking these languages were descended from one people, exercised considerable influence and caused a lot of confusion. They identified people by the language they spoke. Somebody all give me a boom. This is unbelievable.
Boom.
The idea that Semitic language is derived from one original language. God. Oh, my. I repeat again that the name Semite here has only a purely conventional meaning. It designates the people who spoke Hebrew, Syriac, Arabic. You notice it doesn't even mention Jew. You notice this? Put in the chat. We have been so... Hang on. I repeat again. Scroll down a bit, Spence. I want people to write there. I repeat again. But the name Semite here, Renan is referring to his pioneer study on Semitic philology. The name Semite here has only a purely conventional meaning. It designates the people who have spoken Hebrew, Syriac, Arabic, or some other dialect. And in no sense, the people who are listed in the 10th chapter of Genesis as the descendants of Shem, who are, or at least half of them, of Aryan origin. Boom! Anybody picking this up with me? So they call you anti-Semitic. The word means absolutely nothing with Judaism. Nothing. Renan was, of course, right in pointing to the dangers of taking the generations of the sons of Noah as a basis for philosophical classification. This is a Jewish source, by the way. Thank you. He might have gone further. The descendants of Ham, conventionally the ancestors of Africans, include, in addition to Egypt and Ethiopia, Canaanites and Phoenicians who lived in Syria-Palestine area and spoke a language very similar to Hebrew. Defining race, the confusion between race and language goes back a long way. It was compounded by the rapidly changing content of the word race in European and later in American usage. Serious scholars have pointed out repeatedly and ineffectually that Semitic is a language! Jewish source. Denoting certain language and in some context, scroll down, please. Say, Coach, I never heard nothing like this in my life. At one time, it might thus have had a connotation of race when that word itself was used to denigrate national and cultural entities. But it has nothing whatsoever to do with race. What doesn't a Semite has nothing to do with race in the anthropological sense that is now common usage. A glance at the present-day speakers of Arabic from Khartoum to Aleppo and from Antrim to Mosul, or even the Hebrew speakers in the modern state of Israel, suffice to show the enormous diversity of racial types. Semitic is a language. Come on in, Dale.
It's so simple. You know, we don't have to even complicate that. If you don't believe that source, just pick up your Bible and believe that source. You know, our Bible reading last night, we're in the book of Deuteronomy. Guess what it's talking about? If you're marrying some other countryman, right? Somebody else. Look, okay, so if there's anybody that is 100% Jewish lineage, wouldn't that be Jesus?
Probably the only one.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait, we can't kick out Tamar. We can't kick out Rahab, right? We can't kick out Bathsheba. Coach, look, there is no pure bloodline. I get it. Come we want to say, well, that's the lineage of Matthew chapter 1, and that's of Joseph. Okay, because it's of the seed of God. Okay, let's look at Mary's side, right? The other part of it found in Luke chapter 3. She was definitely the descendants of Tamar and Bathsheba. Coach, there is no pure per se bloodline of any. It's nobody. A geographical, and what you said, a Semitic of a language, and that is it. Outside of that, coach, it all goes back to Adam. We are all of that descendant of the bloodline. Everybody on the face of the earth stemmed from these people. It's the human race. There's only mm-hmm. one race, two mm-hmm. races. Those mm-hmm. are racing to heaven, those racing to hell. Come Amen. On, I'm telling you. And also just want to throw this back there for you. It was decided by the right, because if the Supreme Court said it, we believe it. That settled it, right? Yeah, 1894, Holy Trinity versus the United States declares that the Supreme Court said that America is a Christian nation.
Amen. Amen. Which, by the way, is what Donald Trump's going to reaffirm here coming up. And is it in June or whatever? Hey, folks, look, are you looking at me? You've been damn brainwashed. Anti-Semitic means anti-a language. It got nothing to do with Jews. Got nothing to do with Jews. It has to do with Semitic languages. I'm not done yet. Hang on. Go ahead, Adam. Come on in. I got another one. I'm going to bang you again. Go ahead.
Dude, just a little levity and encouragement for you, Coach. I think we should get a pair of eggs, dip them in brass, and make a trophy out of them and give them to you for having the courage to say what you say, because most people don't have it. So you got, I guess in Spanish, the way to say it is a big pair of huevos.
Yeah. Hey, Adam, I'm just reading what somebody else has written. By the way, go to the top of this, Spencer. Wait a minute. Stay right there, man. Stay at the bottom. Okay, doesn't matter. What's the name of this website, Spencer? It's Jewish Learning. It's Jewish Learning. A historic traces the origins of the term Semite. It's Jewish history, folks. Scroll down to the very bottom, Spence. I'm sorry if it makes you nervous. I'm sorry if Pastor Timmy Two Toes doesn't know it. Reprinted with permission from Semites and Anti-Semites, an inquiry into conflict and prejudice. What? You mean the Jewish people are questioning Semite? Wow. I hate to tell you this. It tells us in 2 Thessalonians. Pull that up, Spence. 2 Thessalonians. I'm going somewhere. 2 Thessalonians. You just pulled this up, 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. I think it is. And now I beseech you, brothers, by the coming of Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto him, that you be not shaken, soon shaken, troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is in him. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And the man of sin be revealed, son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called Christ, or that is worshipped, so that he as Christ sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, the Christ. Remember not when I told you this? Now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Mystery of iniquity? Yeah, lies. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, who shall destroy with brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and then that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God sends a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. For my Christians, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him, period.
Boom.
Yeah. Kind of shocking, isn't it? Kind of shocking. Let me show you what's going on here. I'd love for you to jump in here. I'd love to hear from you. Pull up number six and we'll see what's going on. Pull up number six. Hey, folks, we're going to have to deal with what's going on in the Gulf. Is it America's foreign policy to protect Israel, even though we're not a Christian nation, they tell us? This is coming to a head. It's coming to a head. Play this. It's very, very short. I neither endorse it nor don't endorse it. Go ahead and play it.
This letter that you got from JFK, July 19th, 99. Your father passed away when?
Right.
In July?
JFK Jr. I mean, it must have been the last thing, one of the last things he did. He was a great guy. He was a friend of mine.
Dear Donald, I read over the weekend of your father's passing, and I just wanted to drop you a note. No matter where you are in life, losing a parent changes you.
And spoke of his potential, implying a path to leadership cut short. Instead of a prince, we got the cold-hearted witch, Hillary Clinton, who would win the U.S. Senate seat destined for Junior. She would sit on the presidential back burner as CIA creation Barack, Sotero, Hussein, Obama took center stage. He would put his manufactured charm on display, stirring a sleepful forgetfulness of what could have been. Junior and his effortless charisma faded from memory. We got a foreign-born closeted homosexual.
And do you think that the country will see the United States will see the first gay president or the first woman president?
We already have it with Obama.
So Barack Obama smokes crack and then you perform oral sex on him.
You get off, you finish smoking, you leave.
Like, thanks, bye?
Mm-hmm.
Barack Obama had a really fun time with a guy named Larry Sinclair. And the reason why we're making this video is that Larry Sinclair has died.
And his transgender wife.
No, Michelle is a transgender. We all know.
Good day. We bring you some sad news from the entertainment world. Joan Rivers, one of the giants of American comedy, has died in New York.
That warms my heart, particularly as a black man.
A lineage of deception and division, sowing seeds of cultural erosion, economic betrayal, and foreign entanglements that hollowed out the nation's core, advancing a 16-year plan to wreck all that America stood for.
This led.
Wow. Huh? All right, I'm overloading you. Come on in. Come on in. They have so lied to us, folks. They have so lied to us. So lied to us. I'm not here to argue theology. I'm not here to argue the rapture. I'm not here to argue end time. I'm not here to argue. If they lied to us about Semites, what else have they lied to us about? Come on in. Come on. Nobody got anything to say? I'm so tired of being called anti-Semite just because I question. Okay, one more thing. I'll get you, Adam. One more thing. Can I? Number four. Sean Ryan. once, hey, okay, I'm going to, I don't care if you like it. I don't care. Why are we sending money to Israel? Go ahead and play it.
We're sending them money. Why?
Who do you think we're occupied by?
AIPAC.
A lot of people think that.
The evidence is there. The evidence is all there. It's, come on. We send $18 billion a year to Israel. Why? Just ask the question, what do we get out of it?
Nothing.
We get nothing. Are we doing humanitarian work? No, they're charged with genocide. They're killing off Palestinians. Are we helping them survive? Well, they've got a higher standard of living than we do, a longer lifespan than we do, free education, free housing, free health care. But we're sending them money. Why? But we're sending.
Pretty good question. Why? They hate Christ. Adam, come on in.
Hey, Coach, sorry to have a big mouth today. I think a lot of people have been trained by their pastors that if they question whatever orthodoxy is being taught in their churches, that they
Adam, you're just repeating what they learned. They're not evil people. They're just repeating what they've learned. Go ahead.
Yep. I've heard pastors, like when it comes to dispensationalism and Zionism and everything, if you question the narrative, then you risk becoming a heretic and losing your salvation. So they train people to not even ask questions.
That's right.
And that's not biblical.
This issue isn't going away. This issue is not going away. Go ahead, Adam.
I was done, Coach. I was done. I appreciate it.
Amen. Amen. Ohio Brett. Hey, Brett, see you here in a couple of days, man. Look forward
to it. Coach, safe travels. Can't wait to see you. Hey, friends, this locker room is so special. Border to border, coast to coast. Only one man out there named Coach leading the way. We're the players. We're not asking permission for peacefully going to staking courthouses or praying over the spiritual battles that you're leading, Coach. There are so many all-star players out there, but they've lied to us about everything. So what we have to ask ourselves, are we going to keep accepting the lies, or are we going to do something about it at the local level? That's why I can't wait to hear you speak again, because you'll be one of the only other speakers besides me, because I'm on your coaching tree, to encourage people to run a local play. Everybody else will be 100% a professional conference.
They won't have, Brett, they won't have a play. They don't know how to run plays.
They don't have, and this is so asinine. With the Ohio State Buckeyes, oh, we just want to expose evil, so we're going to have that cheating team at Ann Arbor. They're going to be our offensive coordinator. But we want to put some forth because we want to expose evil. Ohio State Buckeyes are going to have a cheating team at Ann Arbor offensive coordinator. It's asinine. They lie to us every step of the way. I'm proud to be one of your strong safeties. This locker room is special. You know how much I love you and Michelle. God bless you. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Brett, man. It'll be good to see you. Can I play a controversial one for you folks? Huh? Look, I'm still making up my decision. I don't know. Pull up number eight. Whew. I'm running a risk here. That's not it. Number eight. Oh, okay. Hey. I'm not saying this. Somebody else is. Go ahead.
The Jews. It's the Edomites posing as Jews. Edomites are the Canaanites. And if you know the Bible...
I've been saying this. It's really not the Jews. It's the Satanists that have hijacked every religion.
You know the story of Jacob and Esau? Esau was cursed. He went and married two Canaanite women, and their tribes became the Edomites. The Edomites were eventually absorbed into Israel and were converted into Jews, but they kept their dastardly...
And how did they get absorbed into Israel? Well, what happened was the Khazarian Mafia, which was located north of Israel in that region, all of the neighboring countries got so sick of their disgusting evil practices that the rulers of the surrounding countries forced them to pick a religion. It forced the leader of the Khazarians to pick a religion to follow, so that way there could be an attempt at peace in that region, and that neighboring countries' traders wouldn't have to deal with passing through Khazaria, where a lot of them actually went missing. So their solution was to force them into a monotheistic religion, and the Khazarians chose Judaism, the Khazarians being Satanists.
Ways, and they are the synagogue of Satan that Jesus was rebuking because they were living amongst the Israelites at the time. And from what I read, King Herod was actually part Edomite. But long story short, they killed Jesus. They killed the real Messiah. Their whole thing was about stealing back the blessing that Esau stole from Jacob. So they killed Christ and have been working with Satan to destroy the world. But in the Bible, it's written that the righteous tribes will rise and that God will destroy each and every one of them. And that the Edomites will go to live in the Holy Land, the fake Jews, the ones who worship the Star of Raphim, the six-pointed star that they have on their flag and have legitimized to all of us via their psyops. The six-pointed star Jews, those are the Edomites posing as Jews. But they're really just continuing the Canaanite practice of child sacrifice, satanic Baal worship, Moloch worship, all that nasty such Saturn worship, child eating, child blood drinking, child sacrifice, etc. And they're posing as Jews. And they are the ones that Jesus Christ called the synagogue of Satan. And yeah, so it's not the Jews. It's the Edomites posing as Jews, the Khazars, the Ashkenazis, the Canaanites that basically migrated to Ukraine. But the good thing is, according to the Bible, we don't need to do anything. God is going to smite each and every one of them. And he said he was going to do it when they return to Jerusalem, which they all are. And they're going to try to bring about a fake Messiah, but God's going to destroy each and every one of them. He said he's going to destroy the entire bloodline of
Well, this is pretty dark, but it's the truth. These people have hijacked every major...
Come on in, Randy.
Yeah, Coach, that is true, but partially true, because let me show you, the Jews who were from the tribes, what they came back from Babylon, Coach, which continued the high priest line, the Pharisees, Sadducees, they were not all Edomites. No, they were true Jews, okay? So who they were partially responsible for the death of Christ. So I don't give them a pass either way, Coach. Now, this guy's telling the truth. I know all about Khazaria and Edomites and all that. That is true. But that's not the whole lot, okay? The whole lot does include the Jews from the priest lines. That wasn't it them that said to Pilate, their blood is on us and our children? It was the whole Jewish priesthood with it, Rome included. So no one's innocent in a sense, Coach. So I don't give them a pass.
Okay, so folks, understand this. For those of you out there who are getting ready to scream anti-Semitism like a trained seal, hong, 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 hong. We found out today what Semitism is, and it ain't got nothing to do with Judaism. Got nothing to do with Judaism. And yet we repeat it over and over and over like trained seals. And as soon as you say something, hey, friends, you do understand that we have American boys dying in the Middle East. I don't know if we're controlled by Israel, but certainly to help Israel. And shouldn't we figure out who Israel's really serving? And is there something wrong with me that I ask that question?
Amen.
If somebody comes to me and say, this happens, somebody comes to me and says, hey, Coach Dave, I got a friend who needs... they're really having some financial problems and blah, 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 blah. Boy, they could, is there any way you could help them? You think, oh, hell yeah, let me write them a check. You think I'd do that? I'd do a little bit of investigation and see if they're going to go spend it on crack or whores or whatever it is. Do they have a real issue here? So you mean to tell me that America, we're supposed to be funding people who deny the Lordship of Jesus Christ? What? And then if I question it, I'm anti-Semitic. Well, I don't want to send any money to the Muslims either. Am I anti-Muslim? I don't want to send any money to the Chinese. Am I anti-Chinese? I don't want to send money to my neighbor. Am I anti-neighbor? The hell have they done to us and our ability to think? Programmed. Can't call me anti-Semitic. That word doesn't mean anything. Oh, go ahead and call me that. It doesn't mean anything. It's like calling somebody the N-word. Oh, you're racist. You're racist. Huh? Oh, yeah, you're racist. Why? If I look, notice, Spencer, see if you can do this. Hey, Vinny, I noticed this. Spencer, pull up a picture of the Ohio State University basketball team. See if you can find it. Picture of the Ohio State University basketball team. So what are you doing that for, Coach? Click on the picture. I can't help. Click on it. Can you make it bigger? That's not the one I wanted. It doesn't matter. There's one. No, maybe it wasn't Ohio State. Anyway, 90% of them are black. Now, like, hey, I'm not racist. I just noticed it. I just noticed they're black. I just noticed it. Does it make me racist because I noticed they're black? Does it make me racist because I noticed they're Chinese? Does it make me racist because I noticed they're fat? And we've gotten to the point in America where we're not allowed to criticize anything. You may not even be criticized. You might just be asking a question. I'm all over the place here today. But I'm telling you, we have been lied to, folks. If you get nothing from this show, what is a Semite? What is a Semite? What's a Semite? If you're going to be anti-one, wouldn't it be a good idea? Oh, you mean those people who speak Semitic languages? Those people? Oh, you mean you're not talking about the people in Israel? You're talking about the people who use the language, the Semitic language? Oh, that sort of changes things, doesn't it? Eileen, quickly. You send Eileen some money. She's running for office. Come on in, Eileen. We can't hear you.
Okay. Sorry about that. Good morning, Coach. Did you see the woman, I can't remember her name, that got thrown off the Religious Liberty Commission because she was Catholic? Right. And she said to the Jewish and to all of them, that is not what we are taught. We are not taught Zionism. Right. And, but, you know, with what you taught today, she should have used it as well to get down to their level as to the history, because it's all about the history. Yeah. It's all about biblical, but we can't find it anywhere.
No, they won't tell us the history. Well, hey, Spencer, real quick. Hey, Spencer, boy, I'm going to give you $5 if you get this one. Real quick, Google, who are the largest recipients of AIPAC money? AIPAC is America, Israel, whatever. Jewish. Who are the largest recipients of AIPAC money? Joe Biden. Look how much money Joe Biden received from AIPAC. $4,226,000. What about Robert Menendez? Click on down there, huh? Hillary Clinton getting money from AIPAC. AIPAC! Israel, Kamala Harris, look at that, Mitch McConnell, Ted Cruz. Hey, folks, shake your head, your eyes are stuck. And here's the good news. When we leave here today, you can't call me anti-Semitic, because we all know what that means now, don't we? Semitic speaking languages, not Jews. It doesn't mean to do with Jews. Oh, quickly, let me throw a, how much time I got? Oh, I don't have time. I'll show it to you later. Did you see the picture that they're saying Netanyahu was killed? Did you guys see that picture yet? I don't trust anything I see until it becomes formalized, but y'all still love me? See you tomorrow.